Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, I'm honored that God has allowed me to come before his people on Wednesday night as we explore the word of God together. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule to come as we fellowship in the word of God. When we study the word of God, God reveals himself to us. God gives us instructions and directions and tells us how we can do to have success. It's a time that we can hear what God is speaking to us. We can hear what the Spirit has to say. And I thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight. And I pray that you receive what you're looking to receive from God in this Bible study. Our lesson tonight is, it is not about us. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's all about God. And we coming from 2 Corinthians chapter the 15th through the 18th verse. And I'm going to play a song. And once we get through, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and we're going to come back and explore the word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week. I pray that whatever you were in need of, you received it. Whatever the desires of your heart was, you received it. And whatever you needed, you received it. And what I'm going to do is play a song, and we're going to come back and explore the word of God together.
No weapon formed against me
say no weapon formed
just ain't one.
There just
ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've said I've been a trap.
And that was no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Do you believe it? You have to believe it in order to achieve it. We have no idea of all of the weapons forming against us. But God said he take care of us through dangers seen and unseen. It's going to be an amazing thing when we all get to see Jesus' face. And he could tell us about all of the danger that was around us from since in our mother's womb until he came and got us, that he was fighting off for us. It's a beautiful thing. Because the scriptures say all of the weapons that form against you, they won't prosper. And that time is time for us to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. As always, I open the floor for anyone who would pray to bring us to God's throne of grace. God is extending his opportunity, and whosoever will, let him come and lead us to the throne of grace. You just have to press the one button on your phone. I'll open your mic, and then you can pray with us on tonight. So if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button on your phone. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our beginning and our end, the God that has been with us and hold us and heal us and deliver us and lead us and guide us, who take care and supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that never changed. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity on tonight for us to come before your throne of grace and lay our petitions at your feet. Lord, I pray for this Bible study tonight, and I pray that the Holy Spirit illuminates and revelates the words and information that is coming from me. Lord, I understand that I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost is the illuminator and the revelator of the truth of God and what the word is saying. Lord, I pray that this the words that go forth don't return void, dear God. And God, I pray that each person that came on the line, dear God, whatever they're seeking, whatever they're in need of, granted, dear God, by the Holy Spirit in their life. And dear Lord Jesus, as you stand at the right hand of the Father interceding for our behalf, you know our needs. You know what we have asked with our mouth, and you know what we have hidden in our heart, God, and you can deliver it if it's your will. Lord, please let it be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God. And I have a caller that pressed the one button. That's Sister Rosemary Coleman. Did you want to pray?
Well, no, I was, but you did already. That's good. Thank you.
There's never too many prayers, darling.
I know.
But you don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, I can. I was just going to just say, you know, Father God, I just thank you for this Bible study that we have every Wednesday, because it's such a learning for us. And I just pray that when we go through this Bible study, that we carry it in our hearts and our keep it carried in our hearts so we can live by the words that we're learning in this Bible study. And I just pray and ask you, God, to bless everyone that's on this line. And whatever they need of, Father God, please help them. Open doors for them, Father God, like they never had doors open before, Father God. Father God, open their hearts so they can receive your word. Open their ears and their minds so they can keep it, Father God. And I ask you to do all these things in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary. That was a beautiful prayer. Beautiful. Said things that I was thinking and it didn't come out, but God knew you was coming behind me. And that's what happens when we pray. I say something, someone else say something else. So you got to realize that your prayers are needed. And whatever God has given you to pray, it's necessary for the body. Because we are one body in Christ, many members. But each and every one of us has a word. Each and every one of us has a purpose. Each and every one of us has a design. And they're not alike. God said that you are uniquely made. There's no two yous. And God's purpose for your life is not the purpose of someone else's life. So I thank you, Sister Rosemary, for that beautiful prayer.
Amen.
At this time, I'm going to say the title of the lesson again because more callers has called into the studio, and then we're going to expound on the word of God. The title of our lesson tonight is, It's Not About Us, All About God. We're coming from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 18th verse. You know, when I came up with this title, because the time that we are living now, we have so much going on. Every day is something new. The climate is doing its thing. We have storm and tornadoes after storm and tornadoes. You know, our leaders is doing whatever they think is right in their own minds. The pandemic of the coronavirus and the COVID-19 is reaping havoc in the land. We have injustice on every side. We have brutality on a high. And all of this is going on. But I come to tell you tonight that God is in control. I want you to know that everything that's happening, God knows it. None of the trials, tribulation, adversities, or anything that's happening is taking God by surprise. None of your struggles, none of your disappointments, none of your problems and things that you're going through, God knows it. And he said in his word, he's going to work it all out together for your good. But you got to trust him. You got to bring it to him in prayer. And the motto says, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. When you put prayers and worry together, it's like oil and water. It can't mix. Many people is walking around with fear, fear of one thing against another thing, fear of what it's going to be like tomorrow and what is going to be next year. But God say he's not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Whatever your need is tonight, my sisters and brothers, I want you to know that God got it. Because the scripture says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world, and everything that dwells therein. God is able. You know, God has never wanted or needed to do anything that he couldn't accomplish. God has given us evidence day in and day out how he's protecting us and how he loves us. He calls us in his word his children. He adopted us and made us legal heirs. to an inheritance. God say, how much more would I do for you than an earthly father who has a sin nature do for his child? If you think you had a great father, multiply it by 10,000, and you still wouldn't be able to say that's how God is. So tonight, for the background, I just wanted you to know a little bit about God and the characteristics of God and his attributes. See, when we could truly, truly understand who God is, we could begin to rest in the rest that he has established for us. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, you can't fully trust somebody you don't know. So God took time and inspired 40 men to write the Holy Bible, 60, where he reveals himself to us and he shows us how he has worked in the past in the lives of the people. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. So as you study the word of God, as Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. The more you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then and only then you can trust him. And the more you know of him, the more you trust him. And I come to tell you tonight, you'll never know who you are until you truly understand who your maker is. But I want to give you some tidbits about God, and we'll get into the lesson. But you see, the characteristics that let us know that God is in total control, and he's sovereign, y'all. And that word means supreme power or authority over all creation. Can you believe it? Because when you start to believe it, you will begin to achieve it. So three things to know that God is sovereign and is in control. The first one is that he's omniscient. Omniscient means that God is all-knowing and that he has unlimited knowledge. God knows you before you was in your mother's womb. There's a scripture way in Psalms 139 that says, God formed you in your mother's womb. He took his hand and put it in there and put all of your innermost parts together. Hallelujah. He knows you. The Bible says that God knows the number of hairs on your head. Hallelujah. You see, God has this quality that no one else knows, because no one else knows everything. He knows, not only does he know everything that will happen, but he also knows all things that could possibly happen. Nothing taken by surprise, and no one can hide anything from him. So God is omniscient. The next one is omnipotent, means that God is all-powerful, but that he's unlimited with power. You see, having all power is significant because it established God's ability to carry out his sovereign will. And God's sovereign will states that he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. He do whatever please him, and he do the things that's going to give him the glory, because we was created to give God glory, honor, and praise. Because God is omnipotent, he has infinite power. Nothing can stop his decree from happening, and nothing can stop his divine purpose from being fulfilled. Whatever God wants, let me tell y'all this. In this whole world, his whole creation, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, humans, hallelujah, the sun and the stars and the moon and the waters and the seas and the ocean. Whatever God wants, God's going to get. and most of these other things other than humans, they could cooperate with God. The sun know when it's supposed to come up, and the sun know when it goes down. We never had a sun shining 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all. The moon know when to come up. The flowers know when their season is here. You don't see certain things growing in the springtime. That's a winter plant. See, everybody understands, and they just do what God designed them to do. But there's a problem with mankind, because men would like to lean to their own understanding, and man want to do whatever seems right in his own eyes. And many times, man think they're afforded the privilege to make it up as they go, and then God's got to fit in their agenda. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to help somebody. I don't have enough money to share. I'm talking about mankind, y'all. And then we got omnipresent. That means that God is always present. That's why the scriptures say God is our present help. No matter where we at, 10 years from now, he's still present. When we was 3 years old, he was our present help. If we live to be 150, he's our present help. He's always present. There is no place that you could go to escape God's presence. God is not limited by time or space. He is present at every point of time and space. God's infinite presence is significant because it establishes that God is eternal. God has always existed and always will exist. You see, before the beginning of time, God was. Before the world or even matter itself was created, God was. He has no beginning or end. And there was never a time he did not exist. Nor will there be a time when he ceased to exist. I wanted to give you guys that because the more we chew on that and we take those things about God and we put it down in our spirit and we begin to believe it, it will remove a lot of fear, doubt, worrying. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, because my burdens is easy, and they're light. The Bible said, God tell us, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. And see, when you can't sleep at night, and it's 3 and 4 and 5, and you're walking the up and down the house, trying to fix something, go to sleep if you trust God. Go to sleep and let him work it out for you, because God never sleeps. And that's the God we served. That's the God we serve. So I'm going to go into the scripture tonight, y'all. And I thought that was important, as well as the song that I played, to let you know no weapon formed against you. Some weapons going to prosper, but not all of them's going to prosper. And God learning who he is and what he is and what he can do and what he has done could give you confidence, and I hope is enough evidence for you to trust him. To trust God just means that you believe that he knows what's best. And that's a hard thing for many people, because some people believe that they know it all. That they know what's good for you. They know what's good for me. They know what's good for their children. They got all of the answers. But they're not God. So we're going to look at our scriptures tonight. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians. I pray you got your Bibles. And we're going to the 4th chapter. And the chapter reads as follows. I'm starting at the 5th verse. They say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. He said, look, don't be pushing yourself all up. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Don't go around trying to preach how good you is. Preach how good your master is. Six, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of God. They saying, you know, God sent his son Jesus. We were all living in darkness. That's why they say that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, they got that song they sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Jesus the Light of the World. Glory to the newborn King, Jesus the Light of the World. So this scripture is talking about the light. Look what it says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about Jesus when he allowed his son to come, has shined in our heart. Jesus came, took care of all of our necessities, took the sting out of death, gave us a way to be saved, and he went back to sit at the right hand of the Father. And when he left his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The truth to us about this light that God has commanded and given us. And then when Jesus walked the earth, you saw his face. And that you got to imagine that it was the face of God, because Jesus told his disciples, if you see me, you see the Father. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Now watch this. They say that we are earthly vessels. But the vessel is one thing. But he's telling us inside of this vessel is the treasure. So the scripture is saying that we are earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. So if, you know, don't put yourself on the vessel, which is you. That's why my title is, it's not all about us. We have to get with God's program, or God's program going to get us. So the scripture saying we are a vessel, an earthly vessel, are really like a vessel made of clay, because you know we came from the dirt, but there's treasures in us. God, the light, and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the treasures. We gained all of that when we accepted Jesus. And all of these treasures is in this earthly vessel. And he's telling us tonight, it's not about us, but it's about the treasures inside of us. And number 8 say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is a good scripture that we could quote if we really want to be honest for the year 2020. You know, the year came in with a bang. It came up with a virus that nobody could see, that nobody had the answer for. And it was a silent killer. 2020 came in like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then our leader, the president, was promoting racism, and the people who wore racism, many were quiet. They might have been in the shadows. But when they saw that the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America, was willing to go that far and hard for what he wanted. You see, this scripture is talking about somebody like that. They say, you know, it's not about the vessel, but it's about the treasure in the vessel. And I want you to know tonight, anybody that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they might be a vessel, but they don't have treasures. And you see, you either got treasures of God or you got treasures from Satan. Now, if you want to say you're a vessel, everybody's a vessel because the scripture tells us. But you see, with Satan, if he's filling your vessel, then there's hatred. Come on, y'all. There's injustice. There's fear to be placed upon others, that person who has that in a vessel. Come on, y'all. They're evil people. And that's just a fact. So, yes, the year 2020. But this is things that God added and had Paul to say in his scripture. Verse 9, he said, we are troubled on every side. Can you agree with that? It say, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. How many things have you sitting down scratching your head saying, Lord, how long? Lord, what is all of this about? Come on, y'all. They say we were perplexed. And I can't say were. We are perplexed to some degree. But we not despair. We didn't give up. We were prosecuted on every side. But we wasn't forsaken. Every chance they got, they put their knee on our neck and they cast us down. But they didn't destroy us. Because of the God we serve. Always bearing about in the body the dying. Let me start it again. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be manifest in our body. They saying, you know, once we accepted Christ as our Savior, we supposed to, just like Jesus died, we just supposed to die to our old nature, y'all. That's why they say if you're a Christian, are you born again? You see, for to be born again, something's got to die. So right here they're talking about the dying of the Lord, the dying of Jesus. Jesus died, and we must die that Jesus may be manifested in our body, y'all. You got to turn away from your old ways. You got to change your way of thinking. You got to change the things that you used to do. And I'm not telling anybody that I'm saying you got to be perfect, because I come to tell you tonight that God is not looking for your perfection. But he is concerned about your direction. Are you trying to be more obedient to God than you were yesterday? Is it important for you to wanna to please God? You see, we're not doing good. I have to do all these good things and somebody's keeping score to be saved. You see, we already saved when we accepted Christ, but it's not about being, it's about being saved. But we not, we if we're doing good works, it's not to earn our salvation. But let me tell you this, Jesus died for us. He suffered for us. He was buried for us. He resurrected for us. And now he's at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf, and he left his spirit with us that we wouldn't be comforted. And how could we not serve a God like that? How could we think of everything that Jesus did so nonchalantly and still feel he did that for me, yeah, all right, and do it any kind of way we want? The Bible is our moral compass for moral living. We're not doing good to say, but because everything that Jesus has done for us, we should want to please him. Just like your earthly mother and your father, you knew what they wanted, and you tried everything you could to make them smile. You tried everything you could do to make them be proud. So what about your heavenly Father, your brother Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? I'm going to verse 11 now, y'all. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's what I was telling you about. We die in our old nature so the light can shine. You see, our old nature is in darkness. When the verse started, it started talking about the light that God has given us. We received the light when we accepted the Son, but so many people receive the light, but they still want to act as if darkness is their way. Come on, y'all. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one, and you're going to love the other one. But some people figure they could straddle a fence. They got 1 foot in the things of God and 1 foot in the things of the world. And everybody has that a little bit. But I'm talking about if that's all. I'll say it like this. God has given us time, talent, and resources. So you just could evaluate yourself to what you're doing with your time or how much time you're giving God. If you're not giving the time to God, you're evidently giving the time to the world, the things of the world like TV and for people who still go to the clubs and just entertaining yourself. Feeding all of your desires that you want on a daily basis. Time, talent, and resources. So with your time, I ain't asking nobody to press the button and tell me. Evaluate your own self. I'm talking about your resources. Everything you have, God has given it to you. Everything. Everything belongs to God. So whatever you got, God gave it to you. And everything God gave you is not just for yourself. Remember that. We are only stewards. A steward is someone who takes care of something that belongs to someone else till he comes back again. Jesus has given us all of these things to operate here in the kingdom of God, to be loving and kind to one another. And things like that. But are you sharing? Are you caring? Jesus told him one time, he said, when I was in prison, you visited me not. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was naked, you clothed me not. And they say, Lord, when did we do this? He said, you do it to the least of mine, you're doing it to me. And all I ask you tonight is evaluate yourself. So that was time and that's talent. And now we have time and resources. Now we have to look at gifts. The Bible said that God has given everyone a gift. And I know it may be a strong possibility you don't know what your gift is because it took me a long time. And that's okay. But God has given each one of us a gift, and many of us have several gifts. So with what God has given you, what have you done for him lately with it? And you might not be doing nothing bad with it, and you might not be using it in a world, but there's a saying that the old folks say, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Everybody has something to do. That's why the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's why you see the same people always doing everything. And some people even get the attitude to say, oh, they just want to be in charge, or it's a click, or it's a this, or it's a that. But what have you tried to do with what he has given you? everything that God has given you guys, I want you to know that God is looking for a return on his investment. And that's why some people have more and some have less. And I'm not saying that's all the case, because God works the way he wants. But that's why he said, to whom much is given, much is required. And sometimes he give much to some people because he know they're going to share it. Come on, y'all. He gives some gifts to people because he know they're going to use it for the kingdom. And I come to tell you this tonight. God is so wonderful that God never asks you to do anything. Listen to me, if you ever hear the voice of God, the Jesus or the Holy Spirit asking you to do something, just do it. Because God will never ask you to do anything that he has not given you the ability to be able to do it. Because he won't set you up to fail. He's not going to ask me to do what he asked you to do. Because he has given you what's necessary to do it better than I could do it. So when you say, you know, it's almost like the little engine that could. Everybody could, but nobody did. But you have a gift that God, a God-given gift. And God is looking for a return on his investment. And I'm going to read these other scriptures. I'm going to go to 14. That which he, which raised up Lord Jesus, shall raise us up us also by Jesus. He said, look, God had a master plan. Man had messed up. God came to fix it up, but he had to have a sacrifice. Come on, y'all. And to be a sacrifice for whole mankind, it had to be a man. So God allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh and was reincarnated into what we call Jesus Christ. And God, he had to become a sacrifice. When you have a sacrifice, something got to die. So Jesus had to die to become the sacrifice. So he said, Jesus died, but look what the scripture's saying. Knowing that he which raised up Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. Jesus died, but God raised him up. And he's going to raise us up also. But how he's going to raise us up? You see, Jesus had to die, and God raised him up. And after God raised Jesus up, Jesus is going to be able to raise us up. And then Jesus is going to present us to his Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And 15 says, for all things are for your sake. That is so powerful. You got to realize that everything God is doing in this world, it's for your sake. God does not need anything, but he's doing it for your sake. That's the scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse. Read it if you don't have your Bible. For all things are for your sake, that the abundance grace, which through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. God give us everything so he can receive glory. That's why he said, let your light so shine that men can see your good works and glorify the Father. Because he's worthy to be praised. For which cause we faint not. If you're on a race, the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. But though, watch this, but though our outward man perish, we are dying, y'all. I'm older now than I was yesterday. I'm 10 years older than I was 10 years ago. Come on, y'all. So our outward man is designed to perish and die. But look what the scripture said. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I go on the prayer line every morning at 9 o'clock, and I say this is a day that God has made, and we could rejoice and be glad in it, and there's something we could rejoice about. Our inward man, our spirit, that light inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside of us, is renewing us day by day. 17, for the light affliction. And God is telling you, y'all think y'all going through so much now. But look what he tell you. He said, you maybe can't comprehend it. He said, but I guarantee you the affliction that you're going through is light. He said, because look at my guys in the Old Testament. You know, John the Baptist for talking about me, they cut his head off. How many people you know got their head cut off for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Come on, y'all. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned to death. So when he says the light afflictions that we experience is not compared to them, if you want to be truthful. He said, but watch this. He said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worked for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight. He said, if we suffer a little light afflictions now, and that's the scripture above it said, don't faint and give up in these light afflictions, it's going to only be for a while, little while. I think it's James that said, this life ain't nothing but a vapor. You know, and someone lived to be 110, we get excited, think that's so long. But in the book of Peter said, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with God. So if we're in the year 2000 with God, is it just 2 days? He said, but you're going to go through this little affliction, and you got eternal life. Remember that. And look what he tell you, how to remember it. Verse 18, our last verse. It said, while we look not at the things which are seen, at the things which are not seen. Y'all know they say the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things, hope for, and evidence of things not seen. God's telling if you could see it, it's probably things of the world. That the definition of the world in the Bible is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, the things that you see in the world, the fine cars, the fine house, the fine women, the fine men. Come on, y'all. And then greed set in, you know, you want money and it's not enough. And, you know, that's the things you could see. That's the things of the world. But it's temporal, y'all, because the Bible says everything in this world is going to be burnt with a fervent heat. And only those things done for Christ is going to last. But it say, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, hallelujah, are eternal. That's our lesson tonight. And I came to encourage you that it's not all about us. So get your head out the whatever it is. Oh, why I don't have this. Why I don't have that. Why I don't. Why I don't. That's pity party. You know, I should be. They should have gave me a promotion on my job. You know, whatever, whatever. It's not all about us. And when we make it all about us, we don't have no power. Do the math. But I come to tell you, it's not all about us, but it's all about God. We praying, praying, and praying. We're doing more praying in 2020, I believe, than many people have done before. But look at the hand of God. See, if you're so busy concentrating on you, you won't be able to see how God is working in and out and working everything out for the good and holding back the weapon. Because just imagine if God wasn't there holding all of this together, where would we be? If you take your sights off of you and place them on God and his word, you will not be as the scripture says. You won't be, you might be perplexed, but you won't be despaired. You might be persecuted, but you won't be forsaken. They may even cast you down, but they can't destroy you. They've been trying to just been trying to enslave us, the black people, from, I don't know if the beginning of time, I know it's a long time. They came and took us out of our environment to use us for what they wanted to use us for, and they mistreated us and abused us. And here we are right now in the year 2020. They say our lives doesn't matter. Hallelujah. They say we don't have the right to vote. Did voter suppression, however you say it, voter suppression. Come on, y'all. But didn't God do it? It's not about us. It's all about God. Didn't God do it? Didn't God do it? And some people say, well, Diane, you say God do everything. Yes, he does. Everything happened. He either has to orchestrate it or allow. But didn't God do it? And God say, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. But look what else he said. He said, you got to pray. So the people began to pray, and then he said, now you got to do your part. You got to get out and vote. And the people did that more than any time in history. And God showed up. And guess what, y'all? He's not through yet. Now, I'm not telling you to put your faith in man like Joe Biden as if it's a god. But we knew what we had, and I don't get it twisted. I'm not calling him a devil, but I can contest that he acts like one. And then we still prayed for him. The Bible tells us we owe no man but to love him. But if you got it and I can spot it, it is what it is. So that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, concern, anything you would like to say, you would like to add, you want to give encouragement, anything, you could do so at this time. So if there's no comment, no questions, no concerns at this time, we can have our benediction. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back again on next Wednesday. But as you leave on tonight, remember the scripture says we are only vessels made of clay that holds such great treasures. So don't put your sights on the vessel that you could see, but put your sight on the treasures in the vessel that you cannot see. And our benediction for the night is 2 Peter 3, 3rd chapter, 18th verse. It is our desire that you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now, henceforth, and forevermore. God be with you until we meet again. God loves each and every one of us, and so do I. Good night. Be blessed.